Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 27th. Joining us this morning in his Natalie attired sweater, Rob Arkley. Good morning.
How are you, bud?
Good.
Did you have a Merry Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah. Paul Shanahan was in on Friday, and we were talking about Christmases, and he hit me with a question, and I'll ask it for you. What was the best Christmas gift you got as a kid?
First of all, I believe I am a kid still.
We'll work on that in the second half of the show.
It would have to be my Browning Light 12-gauge shotgun.
Okay.
From my Uncle Bob.
I couldn't come up with one.
Well, see, no, the second best, and it's a good one, and it's tuned to you, was a big old-fashioned radio, big carry around radio, and it's set permanently to 106.3, and it gives me great joy.
It was, what I remembered was the food and the gatherings, the social elements, and giving gifts. And that's what
giving gifts. If I never get a gift again the rest of my life, every day is a gift.
Yeah.
And I approach it as such.
Yeah, yeah. So it was interesting trying to go backwards, and I really couldn't. But now we're going to go forwards. Are you ready?
Always.
All right. So let's this will work. America. Why do we say America?
And not the United States?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You probably learned in school that our nation, plus both New World continents, honors the memory of Italian navigator Amerigo Vespucci. But you are unusual if you learned from the teachers the reason why this name looms so large on the map. Amerigo made several voyages to the West and once spent a few days on the coast of Brazil. Writing about his adventures in 1503, whoa, isn't that a long time ago, he described Western lands south of the equator as constituting a world Europeans had not even imagined. Geographers took that description of the New World very seriously, calling it a new and fourth part of the Earth's surface. They named it for the Italian explorer. By the time other explorers found that Amerigo had only made minor additions to the discoveries of Christopher Columbus, it was too difficult to get the maps changed. As a result, the name of a mediocre adventurer covers most of the land surface of the Western Hemisphere.
What a wonderful story. I love that.
Timing and perception.
Yes.
Oh, boy. When you think of this past year, there are so many cool things that have happened, and there are so many challenging things that have happened. Which of those two words best describes your perspective of this past year?
I've had quite a bit of personal loss this year, familial loss or injuries. And so those would be near the top of my list. On the other hand, a lot of great things have happened, both personally and in business. So it's been a year that kind of, it's hard to say, gee, it was great. And it was in a lot of ways, but there was also loss.
Mixed bag.
Life.
Yeah, that's. I think reality might be a good word to describe this year.
Absolutely.
Just, I mean, there were some really interesting things. Certainly locally, just the announcement of Humboldt States and starting to see the rollout of that. Huge. I mean, that could be of the decade, the story of the decade, I think.
It could be the story of the century, bud.
Okay.
It's big. It's really big. And so it's very exciting for all of us.
Do you think we understand what it really means?
I think I do. I think the community doesn't.
Because we're not used to thinking that big?
Correct.
Or our horizon is tight?
I think both.
Okay.
Both. It's going to be one of those that quietly everyone wakes up and goes, oh, my gosh, this is wonderful.
Oh, really? You just kind of like tide coming in? And just slowly?
It'll be that subtle. It'll be that subtle, yes.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's a great way of putting it.
I suppose for a lot of us, we expect the parade, the event. Here it is, dun-dun-dun.
Won't happen.
No.
It's your analysis on the tide is it.
So when we think of the fiber optic situation, a little bit more compressed.
Brian, I don't know how that translates into bigness for the community. In other words, it's a transaction, and it'll be something going through us. But does that truly translate into jobs?
Stability and recognition is what I see as the byproduct of that.
But how much money?
It may be perceptual,
okay,
rather than reality. But to know that, okay, we've got it now, the redundancy, we've got the reliability, we've got. To me, it's kind of like paving a road.
The
lots are empty, but the road is there.
You're right, and it's a build it and they will come.
A magnet, yeah.
But I'm just going to tell you, we're going to be doing expansions in other towns because the fiber optic people won't guarantee us. Right now it's 24/7. They're going back to 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And so we won't have the same dependable service. So there's, it sounds great, but it's far cheaper and more opportunistic for us if we still had the 24/7. Don't
sure.
Give us one thing and take away another.
Right, right. But I think perceptually, it will we be a Silicon Valley ever? I don't think so. But I think it attracts that lifestyle a little bit more, particularly in combination with the Polytech.
I think the Polytech is big.
Those wedded together. But the other two that we got this year announced are more the traditional.
You mean the fish farm?
Yeah, the fish plant. And it's like, that's cool. Okay.
And I think that's pretty real. I'm beginning to think that's very real.
Yeah, and the wind turbines, and I think that's probably the one that has the question mark behind it, just because we shot down the one that was up on the ridges.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be a civil war over the fights I see coming is I think the community is way behind, excited for Humboldt Poly. I think that has really good support. I think the fish farm. People are predominantly favoring it. Little grumble, not terrible. Then you hear the windmills. And that's starting to be real splits.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, considering some of the different challenges that are out there with the windmills in southern Humboldt got shot down because of visual, I think, and a couple of neighbors worried about some of the noise and stuff. I guess the whir of the blades. The way it was handled, I think, was an embarrassing approach for the community and for the process. Do you sense that there's a parallel argument that's going to be with these offshore windmill, turbine, blade?
I don't know. Tell you what's interesting is, as much as anything, this one's being run by the feds. And so the other one in South Humboldt was being run by private companies. I think the Fed's going to put its full weight behind this, as will the state. So I think it's going to be closer to a deal to do. I think what a lot of them want to make sure is that the lightning rod going forward, from what I see, is the rail. Boy, the enviros are willing to die on the east-west rail concept.
Is that still alive?
It's being discussed actively.
Well, maybe not alive. How about possible?
I'd say it's possible. I wouldn't say it's probable, but it is a civil war. That one will really divide the community. Even though the community overall will like it, it will spawn litigation unlike anyone's seen.
Because of the environmental, because of growth, because it's a train, because it's what?
Yes. It just because, and it's a hill they're willing to die on. I now assess what people around here want and don't want, and what the enviros don't want. Right now, they're pretty well leaving alone some of these things. And
so what is it about a train that gets them excited?
I don't think they like
commerce.
They like the port the way it is substantially. They're nervous that the windmills are going to make the port into a bigger place than it is. They're kind of happy with status quo.
So an undeveloped or underdeveloped port.
Underdeveloped is okay. Good. All yeah. Right. And so I think when they think in terms of container ships coming in, they probably about projectile vomit on them.
Well, it's not, I guess to me, it's not environmental. It's not an environmental issue. It sounds like it's more of an economic issue.
Yeah. It's a development issue. It's, they like some business, but not a lot. And trains and deep water port, now they're trying to say it's not a deep water port. Well, we are. Tough.
That's a black and white definition,
yeah,
isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like some of their approach, the liberals' approaches these days, is to say something's not true. Well, it is true.
Well, South Bay, I get it. That's a mud flat.
It is. It is.
That's not a deep water port, but you know, the dredging of the channel.
It's a port.
Yeah.
It's a deep water port. It meets any worldwide definition, and it is. So it's not a fight I want to particularly get involved in. I feel like I'm doing a lot of things that are positive. We're going to be building a 100,000-foot warehouse out on at Fairhaven, starting in the summer, and so
indoor stock car racing.
Yes, indoor stock car, and don't overlook the 357 Magnum firing range.
Okay.
But there's a lot of positive things going on. It's pretty exciting.
So as you look into the coming year, groundbreaking, nails pounding, saws being used. I mean, are we going to see some of the tangibility of growth?
Yeah.
I suspect with Humboldt, we're going to see it, but a lot of that's inside existing buildings.
I think Humboldt needs housing. I think, you know.
But how long is a permit process for a house?
Not that long. I don't know what's going on with Cutton. I mean, Kramer's got that project and.
Yeah, around Rex's Fields?
Yeah, I just don't see how that works very well, but maybe it does.
Well, the thing that I'm always
concerned
about is, yes, it's the roads in and out, and we've done such a great job of having a train wreck as it is.
We should be proud of ourselves. We have created an absolute bottleneck.
Yeah, choke points, multiple choke
Not
points.
Not just a choke point. It's worse than a choke point. It's amazing what we've left ourselves.
But with. I guess the perturbing thing for me is everybody recognizes that they're there, but we're not doing anything to address the situation, so it's just going to be compounded. And added to, just as the years go on, normal stuff, let alone this additional housing that's coming in. And it's not developmental fees. I mean, like, for example, Walnut, if you have to put in another stoplight or three, That's not a development. That's the entire community. So you can't do it on the new guys coming in. It really has to be the governmental entity looking at this stuff.
Yeah, but they have to address the access. I mean,
the roads. Yeah.
This is not stoplight stuff.
No, no, no. This is thoroughfare stuff.
This is thoroughfare stuff. Yeah. And they haven't thought it through. And if I were a neighbor and I hear 150 or 200 units going to be built in this little area, I'd say bullshit. And sorry.
It works.
I'd say no. Absolutely not. And so, you know, who knows where this goes?
Well, and perhaps it just getting the discussions going will develop some inertia.
I think so.
On looking at that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, maybe it is some condemnation or purchasing of existing homes. And
go for it.
Making it so it can happen.
The homeowner's in a great place is getting paid top dollar for their thing, for their house.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, as you see things nationally now, there's a lot of, well, I heard a poll number late last week that indicated that just no-name Republican, no-name Democrat running for the president. 10%.
Yeah.
Republican.
Yeah, plus 10.
And they said that that has never... That hasn't existed in the length of the polling of, I think it was CNBC or so. It wasn't a conservative think tank doing
no.
it. What does that portend for the congressional races and the senatorial races that are coming up this coming year?
I think we're going to see some big moves.
Cataclysmic?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does that look like at the end of next year?
Looks like whoever the president is, be it Biden, be it Harris, be it Hillary, will not have many levers of power as they do today.
One of the thoughts that I had driving in this morning was, you know, there was another comment from Dr. Fauci.
Can he not just go away?
My thought was, does he have more power and influence? I mean, certainly he has the media's attention. More power and influence today than any elected official.
No, I don't think so. I think he is a mouthpiece.
In conjunction with the news media.
That's it.
Carrying the water.
That's it. And he is, to say he flops around just doesn't paint the picture. It's embarrassing what he does.
But there's a tenor that's established with that. Either culturally or... Yeah, and in some places economically too. You know, because then you got our governor positioning based off of wanting to look good and following what's coming out, you know, from that office. There's a lot of ripples that this guy's doing, and there was something late last week. He said, "Well, you know, you may want to consider wearing masks if you're getting together with family for Christmas." And that just rubs so many of us so wrong. But yet it's being shared and said factually with a straight face.
Fauci should understand that he has done more to hinder societal masking than assist him. They've given us sent so many signals, so many pronouncements, so many cross currents that we're numb, we don't care. We don't think we're going to die. The Omicron doesn't look bad at all. A lot of us got shots. I'm not going to get another booster, but I did get my shot. I'm happy with that, but I'm not going to another. A friend of mine dropped dead after getting his booster, and I'm just not going to deal with it that way. But they have managed to fatigue us.
Yeah. I guess maybe a word for this year?
Yeah.
Fatigue.
You know, spot on. Cher said that this morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It just is intriguing.
See, it's not an oni horribli.
That sounds like a steak option on a
terrible
menu.
A terrible year.
Oh, okay.
A little Latin.
Yeah. Well, and, sorry, I missed that class.
but it's certainly a fatiguing year.
Yeah, yeah. Can this coming year be an enthusiastic year? The inverse of fatigue, excitement, whatever you want to call it.
Highly unlikely, because I don't think they want to fix. They're the masks and the mandates and the constant changing course is a pattern of governing.
But with the elections coming on, and the discussions are going to be associated with some of the edicts and the reactions and the ramifications of it, I would think there's going to be a lot of discussion, if nothing else, around how this has been handled.
The Dems aren't going to do that. We're going to go into full-scale demagoguery by the press. And Biden's going to start periscoping down, hiding, translated. I don't see anything that will surprise us greatly going forward. They're going to get more and more frustrated. They're going to do more and more mandates. We're going to beat them in court. And we're having to use the courts in ways that is really unfortunate, but they're wrong. They're overstepping. They know they are. It's just...
Ask for forgiveness afterwards rather than permission?
Yeah, and they're mad. They want their way. I mean, Joe Biden's saying, I'm getting frustrated with you people for not listening to me. The answer is no. Last time I checked, we don't have
now,
to listen to
where
you.
Where is the socialist wing of the population? I mean, if there's frustration with this, I would think those guys are apoplectic.
They are.
Because you know, there's nothing that's getting carried from their perspective.
They're really mad, and what they're really mad at is they're going to get thoroughly trounced. And I think we've seen the height of where they are, and you can feel the air coming out of the balloon, and like AOC doesn't know what to do. And they really thought they could berate Joe Manchin into doing some of this stuff.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And now we're attacking the state.
Oh yeah, belittle.
That wasn't that stunning.
That's the way they think, Bri. They really do hold us in the best of contempt. They really don't like
us. So this is just showing their cards, not
this
new.
This is
showing their hand.
This is who they are. I'm okay with that. It's better to see them who they are than have to have them hide behind. How many of the votes were cast in person on this election?
I sense you might have an answer.
I do.
I have no clue.
70% were cast via mail and 30% in person. And so.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why there was so much mischief. It just led itself to mischief.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, it's interesting for me, and maybe you can bring a lot of us up to speed with all of the challenges with the economy, with the unemployment or the need for additional employment where it is, with the number of employed down, with the shortage economy now fully in place, how come the stock market is continuing to go up and up and up, and a sense of stability in the financial markets?
Well, they'll be stable till they're not. I think 2022 is going to be a rough year for equities. We have inflation and we have a lot of cross currents in the economy. The labor participation.
So what's going to change? Because that exists now.
It does.
A recognition of it?
A recognition of it and a higher interest rate to higher interest rates if they stop the quantitative easing is going to put the brakes on the economy unlike anyone understands.
So if they can mess with the QE 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is now, do they do that after the election? Just prior to the election? I know the Fed...
No, they're going to have to...
I know it's supposed to be nonpartisan, but...
The Fed has to start. Just has to.
February, March?
Remember, we all talk about Carter's inflation at 12%, right? If we calculated inflation the way they did today, the way they did back then, we're at 12, 14. So it's already a mess. And we go through the stores and, you know, there are shortages. Is the chip shortage going to exacerbate? Probably short term. But ultimately, we're going to re-domesticate a lot of production. So
that's the question Ange's had is, okay, when do we start making this stuff here again?
We're on the way.
Even with the environmental laws that are in place and
we're doing
it. It still can happen.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the bigger problems that snuck up on all of us, meaning the deplorables, is we haven't seen big business act in concert with the government. In other words, it's doing a lot of things in policies that heretofore the government tried to do and couldn't do, but now big business is doing it because they can. And we're seeing a form of fascism where that is kind of frightening. And so it'll work through. We're going to win this one. Part of the reason there's desperation is the tide has turned dramatically.
And their sensors and their studies are indicating this change has happened.
They're losing and they're mad.
Yeah.
And so I have great optimism for this area. It's just going to be wonderful.
Is California going to be?
No.
So we're going to be the outpost.
We're going to be
our outlier.
Aberration.
Yeah.
But we have cheap housing relative to California. We have beauty beyond anything. We have a polytech. These kids are going to want to stay here. These are good, clean jobs. No one can really gripe about the jobs. And so I'm awfully optimistic.
Pretty bullish?
Yeah. We just have to get our education system squared away so we can keep these kids.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the governorship.
I think he's so close to irrelevant up here. He doesn't matter.
Right. No, but he makes a dictate, and all of a sudden everybody's doing the dance.
Want to bet? Have you been out to even a local restaurant here where you're supposed to do something? People aren't.
I understand.
They've done it too much. They've told us up is down and down is up for too long, and we don't believe him.
Have a good new year.
All right.
I guess we'll see you the week before the Super Bowl. Or somewhere like that.
Yes.
See everybody else tomorrow.